We were making our own history. We weren't going to accept history as something given to us. Together, Tim and his students developed a collaborative strategy that combined lessons in reading and writing with the production of words of art. Over time, they developed a signature style as under Tim and KOS, Kids of Survival, in which they produced works of art directly on pages of books, cut out and laid in a grid on canvas. The story of the origin of directly working on the pages of the books that the students were reading, serendipitous as it was through one of the students, Carlos Rivera, and his mishearing of an assignment given to the class is one much better told by Tim. Eventually, the collaboration between Tim and his students outgrew the classroom. Frustrated with the strictures of the public school system, Tim opened the Art and Knowledge Workshop, an after-school program in a community center 5 blocks from IS-52. After teaching, Tim would meet KOS members of the workshop. Homework would be done and art would be made. Here, Angel Abreu, 12 years old at the time, joined KOS. In 1986, Tim and KOS had their first exhibition at J. Gorney Modern Art, to great success. This is in New York City. In 1987, Rollins and KOS implemented a traveling workshop to spread the ideas and inspiration behind their project beyond the South Bronx. In 1991, Tim and KOS moved from J. Gorney's to the Mary Boone Gallery in Chelsea. In 1994, the artists moved their operation to a studio in New York's Chelsea neighborhood. There, Tim and some long-term KOS members rebuilt and expanded the project nationally and internationally, increasing the number of workshops conducted with other schools and arts institutions. Today, there are active KOS members in Philadelphia, Memphis, San Francisco, New York, and...
That's enough.
Today, Tim and KOS are represented by Lehman Morgan in New York City and Maureen Paley in London. Getting on with this? You want to hear from Tim? Tim and KOS' decision to exhibit their art galleries and museums signaled an important turning point for the group. They began to distinguish themselves from other teacher-student collaborations by demanding that their work be engaged first as fine art, which blurred the pedagogical project with art world success. From their earliest exhibition, the collaborations raised questions around education, collaboration, commercialization, age, class, and race. Please join me in welcoming Tim and Angel to the cast.
First of all, thank you for having us. It's an honor. You're blessing us. It may be cold outside, but there's going to be fire in this place. Do you believe it? And go that Canadian on me because we're going to get something tonight. All right? I'm a rural man, so I know what it's like to be cold. And the weather's the same, but I am just so thrilled to be here. And the Angel can speak for himself, and there is something special about this place. Like, Angel and I, we're looking around, and we're like, oh, we should do one of these things in the South Bronx. We should. We got certain centers and we got great things, but there's something about the size, about the fact that you have to go through a shady alley. I thought we were going to get rolled. You're like, what? Where are we going? And then.
Well, but that lends to it, though. It's a temporary place. And that's the thing. It's like, you guys, it's not going to go away.
No.
No matter what you go through. Right? Am I wrong about that?
It's something going on in here. You know, when I was a public school teacher, and we've been everywhere, all right? We have been TikTok everywhere, all over the world. And you can go into a place, and it's like stepping into a pool of water, right? And you know if the temperature is right or if it's not. And I just want to let you know that for me, the temperature right in here. Is that all right? Is that all right? I'm going to give you some love. And what we're going to do is we're just going to show you some of our stuff. I'll tell you part of my story, and it's Angel's story as well. And you're just going to dip on in, and actually, we're going to do the tag team. All right. Anyone that's seen, I got it. I'm Pentecostal. All right. And yes, in that face, yes, you did. What? Yeah. Done. And we're going to be tag team lecturing. You ever had that? You seen tag team preaching? You want to see it tonight. This is not an academic exercise, all right? This is about how we do what we do. And I want to tell you the story. All right, the story was, I grew up in a little village called Burnham, Maine. And when I was a little boy, I wanted to be an artist, and I knew it. Right? Raised in the First Baptist Church. My great-grandmother was in the Holiness Pentecostal Church, so I had an amazing sort of cool, progressive culture. Hello. I'm not Southern Baptist, I'm Northern Baptist. And we're Martin Luther King Baptist, who's my hero. But there was something about me that was different. And it wasn't just, you know, me being kind of gay or me being kind of crazy or me, you know. My brother, for Christmas, got G.I. Joe's. My sister, Cindy Sue, that's her real name, she got an easy bake oven. My other sister, Carly Marie, she got Barbie's dream house. Remember that? But I, what did I want? And we were talking about it. I wanted a big ass 12 pack of Play-Doh, right? And a bunch of doodle pads like that, and a big ass bus, a Crayola crayons. 120 with the pencil sharpener in the back. You know what I'm talking about. And I knew I was going to be an artist. That was all good to it.
You know, you made it when you had the sharpener.
You can get those little things out. You have to have the sharpener. That was the deluxe kit. And I would sit and make my own books and this or that. And so eventually, it became obvious that I went to the University of Maine. A very small community college. I got accepted at Boston University in Yale, but we were broke. And Daddy worked, made shoes. He looked in before they outsourced the whole shoe industry in Maine. And Daddy made those shoes. There's no way I can look at a pair of shoes and not see the blood, sweat, and tears in a pair of shoes. And what we did is we'd stay home and watch the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island and The Witch and I Love Lucy, and we would make the threads by ourselves with beeswax. We're talking a lot about materials today, right? The students that are here. You don't artists, you're not students. And I would make those strands like perfect. Right? Perfect. And I knew, I think I'm an artist. Perfect. I'm an artist. I made drawing my dinosaur books, your own dinosaur books, the boy thing, but dinosaur books, and you drew volcanoes, and you did all this, and you bore it out of your mind, and you just kind of create your own world. And then something, an epiphany happened, and I tell the story all the time. You only had art on Friday afternoon. My own kids are bugging out, so I just made myself when I wanted to make it. But something happened, and I was in junior high school, and I was, 14 years old, something like that, Angel's age when I first met him. And we had this mad, cool art teacher. Her name was Donna Severance. I will never miss Severance. And she felt sorry for all these kind of rural hillbilly kids that haven't seen anything beyond the TV screen, all right? And she goes, I want to take these kids to Boston on a bus for a field trip at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. And I said, yeah, hell yeah. My aunts and my grand, like a 3 grand on this thing, guy. And it was $20 to go, and you had a bologna sandwich with lunch on the bus. And we were just driving, and I'm like, wow, getting the hell out of where I was from. And two things happened, and there were two experiences. Anyone here know about John Dewey? If you don't, you're ignorant. And you should get a book called Art as Experience. This is how I laid that. Am I right? You learned that today. You are ignorant if you don't know who John Dewey is. And John Dewey is probably one of the greatest philosophers we've had in American history. And he goes, there's a difference between an experience, right? His experience. Hey, my coat. That's an experience. I did it, right? And then there's experience when you encounter works of art, like we encountered today in your slide presentation, all right? I had an experience with a capital E. Capital E, that's gonna grow. And what I had were two experiences. The first one was we're driving, and you know, country poor is way different from urban. Country poor, you can walk around and run around in the backyard in your bare feet without stepping on a needle. Urban poor, something else. Big time. And what happened was, we're driving, and the bus goes through, and this is like, wow, what is this, 1970, 71, something like that. And we're driving on Interstate 95, and we're going and we go through Roxbury, the urban slums of Boston, Roxbury. And I remember looking at this stuff. I'm choosing my language here. Looking at this stuff, and I remember being physically angry. Nobody in this country should be living like this. I remember it vividly. Now, we're driving to the Museum of Fine Arts, big giant palace. Artworks are cool in the summertime, warm in the wintertime. Your security guard, when our communities only have police, that you can trust. Hello?
Hey, sorry.
And I'm like, all right. Okay, this is an interesting culture we have in this country, right? So here we go, Museum of Fine Arts. All the kids, all of my friends, they want to go see the mummies. And I said, I didn't come all the way to Boston to see some effing mummies, right? So I got lost, all right? And for the folk in here, I highly recommend, Connie, that you get lost. Get lost. Get lost, Garrett. Get lost. Get lost. And I deliberately got lost. I'm walking around. I'm seeing this and I'm seeing that. And I go into a room. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And it was cardboard boxes, big ones, splayed out. Some had paint on them. You know the store, nailed on the wall. And I'm like, what is that? Because you know, if you're a country kid and you're kind of into art, what's more fun than a big giant refrigerator box, right? Because you turn it into a spaceship or a little
mansion. You don't have to be country to appreciate
it. And I'm like, wow, what is this? And I said, if this is what art can be, and if this is what he or she can allow and have permission to do, I'm done. Stick a fork in me, because I'm done. And I thought, that's it. That's it. So go to the label. Robert Rauschenberg. Port Arthur, Texas. They were called cardboard. I'm telling you this because that was it. That was what gave me the experience of Roxbury and the experience of Bob Rauschenberg, right, changed my life. So that's why I'm very adamant about you exposing yourself to everything that you can expose yourself to. I got lucky that day. I got real lucky. And it was, I was 14. Yeah, okay, let's make a mental flight. And now I'm 20 years old, and I'm going to school visual arts, and I'm studying with Joseph Kasuth. And he says, Tim, there's someone I think you'd like to meet. I go, who that? He goes, I won't tell you, but just walk with me. And we walked to Lafayette Street, and there's the church, and there's the studio in the front, and the Bob Rushing. Shit. And I'm like, And I told him the story, and yeah, he'd been drinking. Jack Daniels, always. He never was 10 feet from his side, but that's all right. And he got, moist. Yeah, he got weepy and moist. And he got moist. He goes, Timmy, I make art for people like you. What do you think that did to me? It encouraged me. It encouraged me.
I got a little moist too.
Yeah.
I got very moist.
Yeah.